Father, we do just want to thank you. We thank you for your Sabbath, for a time of coming aside, a day of rest, a day of gathering together, a day of Ruach HaKodesh, you opening your word to us, the words of the Father, showing us, teaching us, guiding us, convicting us. Father, we do pray for those that were lifted up here today, for Tanya, and just as she's been ill, that you would touch her body, that she could be with us again, for Mike and his family and this need of their vehicle as it was wrecked, for Jim as he's continuing to go through, continue to strengthen him, cure him, give him peace. Father, you know the state of our country, and it must ail you more even than it does us. Father, how we have turned aside, how we have gone astray, how we have come far from the principles we were founded on. Father, we have left you, and you have truly turned the country over to a reprobate mind. May we repent, may we turn from our wicked way, that we could see you heal our land. Father, we do ask wisdom for the days ahead for all of us, especially as we have decisions as a family to make. Just continue to lead, guide, direct. May we be that light set on the hill, Messiah, that you may be lifted up. May we truly seek, Father, to see thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth it is in heaven. Amen. Not just for our country, but literally for the world, for our neighbors. And as Canada is putting forth assisted suicide as a medical expediency, I'm not sure when the cure seems worse than the ailment. I don't believe there's any recovery from assisted suicide, but they have literally okayed it for the mentally ill, for the depressed, for terminal patients, for people just who don't think they can cope anymore. You can now go in and the health insurance will pay for them to. They have social medicine, so yes, now the insurance will, because that's much cheaper than treating Jim if we just help Jim pass peaceably by. So that's literally what they are beginning to push. I don't think Jim would appreciate it much either. And I doubt if I was in Canada, I would go quietly. But when you have socialized medicine, and that's the only course of treatment they'll pay for, before long it won't be suggested, it'll be demanded. Ma'am? That's, they're looking at, you know, one-payer system. They wished we had it here, and Canada was one of the models that Romney Care and Obamacare was modeled on. When life has no value because you don't know when life begins, you don't know where life comes from. And so our children are so confused now, they don't even know what life is. They don't even know whether they're male or female, what they are, who they are, where they are. then yes, it has gotten to where life is meaningless. And with those whom held to the Georgia Guidestone, that's just good because they're already wanting many, many to not be here on the earth. So, yes, I do believe we are in times. Though Solomon says there's nothing new under the sun, so I'm assuming some of these times have been seen elsewhere before. We are definitely in a time of life holding little value for so many, and when you're getting to government-mandated suicide, when we get to where killing a infant is women's health, not just a right now, but women's health, it's a sad day. We are in Genesis. Genesis 41, as we've been studying Joseph, and how, again, God uses our circumstances, the thing he brings into our life, if we obey, if we follow, if we keep faith. What did he say about the blessings? They'll overtake you. It doesn't matter where you are. They found Joseph in the pit, his life was spared. They found him in Potiphar's house. He was blessed, and Potiphar's house was blessed. And even though he was lied upon and cast into prison, they found him in prison. He was ended up putting in charge, and the king's baker, the king's cupbearer came. They had dreams. They were troubled, and Joseph said, God, Elohim, he's able to tell you your dreams. He told the dreams, they came true, and he again was forgotten. And that's where we pick up the story today. Came to be at the end of 2 years' time that Pharaoh had a dream and saw him standing by the river. Saw seven cows coming up out of the river, beautiful looking and fat. They fed among the reeds, then saw seven other cows coming up after them out of the river, ugly and lean of flesh, and stood by the other cows on the bank of the river. And the ugly and lean of flesh cows ate up the seven beautiful looking and fat cows. Then Pharaoh awoke. He slept and dreamed a second time. Saw seven heads of grain coming up on one stalk, plump and good, and saw seven lean heads scorched by the east wind coming up after them. The seven lean heads swallowed the seven plump and complete heads, and Pharaoh awoke and saw it was a dream. And it came to be in the morning that his spirit was moved, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Mitzrayim and all its wise men. And Pharaoh related to them his dream, but there was no one who could interpret them for Pharaoh. Here again, remember, this is Egypt for that time. It was the crown of the area, the most educated, the most advanced. Yet even all of these educated men could not tell Pharaoh what his dreams meant. Because what is education? What's our education when we teach the kids? Yeah, facts. You teach them a list of facts. Unfortunately, in our school system, many times that's no longer true because we don't teach facts. As a matter of fact, we teach there are no facts. Everything is relative. It depends upon how you work and get it. It doesn't matter what answer you come up with. Where used to education was, do you come up with the correct answer? Do you have the knowledge? But knowledge in and of itself doesn't give you the answers. That'll give you an answer if you say, yes, what's 2 + 2? What date did Columbus sail the ocean blue? But it won't give you the whys. Why did Columbus sail the ocean blue? 2 + 2 may be 4, but can you use math? What? Can you use math to figure out the answer to the problem that is before you? Can you apply knowledge? That's the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Can I apply it to my situation? And that's supposed to be the goal of education. I don't just teach you facts. I teach you how to learn, how to think, how to discern, how to reason. Today we just teach indoctrination. They teach literally abominations. And then we wonder why we have a generation who cannot think, who cannot reason, who will choose, yes, let the government do our health care and not realize the governments who are doing health care are suggesting suicide as the cure. I thought health care was to keep us from dying. If their solution to keep me from dying is to kill me, that doesn't seem to be a very good solution. Can I please have another option? Can I get a second opinion? And we do not see as a nation, as a country, like Brother Wesley said, how perverse that is, how backwards that is, how obtuse that is, that here is the health care which is supposed to help me live, and their option is to kill me. Isn't the disease doing that? Can I do that on my own? Yeah, they'll end it quickly. Thank you. So you give me less chance to live, less chance to beat it, less chance to heal. Again, I think I'll take a second opinion. Then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh, saying, I remember my crimes this day when Pharaoh was wroth with his servant and put me in confinement. In the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker, each one of us dreamed a dream. And one night, he and I, each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream. And there was with us a Hebrew youth, a servant of the captain of the guard. And we related to him, and he interpreted our dreams to us. Each man he interpreted according to his own dream. And it came to be as he interpreted for us. So it came to be, he restored me to my office, and he hanged him. Then Pharaoh sent and called Yosef, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon, and he shaved and changed his garment and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Yosef, I have dreamed a dream, and there is no one to interpret it. Now I myself have heard it said of you that you understand a dream to interpret it. Now here's Joseph. taken from the dungeons, cleaned, shaved, set before Pharaoh himself. And Pharaoh said, I've heard it myself that you can interpret a dream. What a chance for Joseph. And what does Joseph say? Joseph answered Pharaoh saying, it is not in me. Let Elohim answer Pharaoh with peace. Do we remember in that moment when we are being complimented, when people are saying, oh, when we are at the height of opportunity, do we remember it's not us? It's not me that got me here. It was God, His grace, His mercy, His blessing. Do we remember to acknowledge Him in all of our ways? Do we do our good works to be seen of men, or our good works that they may see them and glorify our Father in heaven? Joseph remembered. He said, it's not me, let Elohim answer Pharaoh with peace. Pharaoh said to Joseph, seeing my dream, I stood on the bank of the river and saw seven cows coming up out of the river, beautiful looking and fat, and they fed among the reeds. And then seven other cows coming up after them, poor and very ugly and lean of flesh. Such ugliness as I have never seen in all the land of Mitzrayim. And the lean of flesh and the ugly cows ate up the first seven, the fat cows. Yet when they had eaten them up, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were as ugly as at the beginning. Then I awoke. Also I looked in my dream and saw seven heads coming up on one stalk, complete and good. Then saw seven heads withered, lean, scorched by the east wind, coming up after them. And the lean heads swallowed the seven good heads, and I spoke to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. Elohim has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Why did God show Pharaoh what he was about to do? Yeah, I believe it was to set Joseph up. It did save the people at the same time. But who did it eventually save as well? Yaakov, Israel. Joseph was in a place that Yah used it so that not only was Yaakov taken care of, but most of the world around that area ended up coming to Egypt for food. Are we able to listen? Are we able to hear? Do we know what God is about to do? They ended up giving even themselves. They gave their land, their seed. In the end, they sold themselves. Brother Wesley said that reminds him of welfare. It is amazing how much we rail against slavery in our earlier years of our country, but again, they don't stop and look that welfare has literally enslaved them. If you're on welfare, do you know where you live? Where they tell you to live, where they'll pay for you to live. What if it's a horrible situation full of crime and drugs? Doesn't matter. That's where you get to live. When do you get to move? When they say you can move. What if they say you can't move? Then you can't move. Or what is the definition of a slave? When do you get to eat? When they put money on your card. What happens if they don't put money on your card? You don't have any. What happens when it runs out? Now, why can they not go get more money? But what happens if they go get more money? The government starts taking off. He punishes you for going and getting more money. So literally, they have trained the people generation after generation. What happens if they get married? Get less money. Train them not to follow God's word, not to have a stable society. And then what happens to their children? They literally grow up cursed. They have no father. They have no stability. They have no family unit. They learn the government is my provider. The government takes care of me. The government houses me. The government feeds me. The government educates me. And then, yes, when the government says, come in for your assisted suicide, it's too late. When the government does like China and says, oh, you can't have but one child, two child, we're not going to pay for the rest, you're going to get penalized, what are you going to do? The government literally tried that in the last few years. The government said, if you don't get a shot, if you don't wear a mask, you can't shop here, you can't buy this, you can't do that. And what did we do? As a whole, most people listened. Stacy and I were in town yesterday. There is no mask mandate in Mississippi. There's no mandate even in Tupelo that I know of. And you know what we saw still? Because once you are deceived, it's hard to get out of it. It's hard to admit it. You have to go, oh, I was wrong, I was dumb, I was deceived. So people double down on it. They believe, again, yes, they worship at the altar of government. They listen to somebody who stands up there and says, I am the science. When the science makes no sense. How big is a virus particle? Minute, you can't even see it. How big is a scent particle? Perfume, a fart, a candle. Rather minute as well, but compared to a virus, multiple times larger. Let me ask you, if you have a mask on, can you still smell? Can you smell the food cooking? Can you smell people's perfume? Some of them are a lot worse than us. How thick is that mask? If somebody has on underwear and jeans, so they're double mask, and they cut the cheese near you, can you still smell it? Even if you're double mask as well? Now, let me ask you, if they're double mask and you're double mask and you still smell it, how in the world is that mask going to stop a virus? Where's the science in that? Well, then the sick people would need to wear a mask. And I can understand that. We go to the doctor's office, the same doctor we've gone to literally for years, and the doctor's office says they've got a little desk here and they've got a room here and a room here, and they said, if you're sick, please sit on this side of the room. If you're well, please sit on this side of the room. If you're sick and you've got symptoms, please put on a mask. Now, why is the sick person putting on a mask? Yeah, so they don't spread it. It's not to keep them from getting sick. They're already sick. The doctor's office science knew years ago. That has been for years and years. If you're sick, put on a mask so you don't spread the germs. Some of them may get caught in your mask. They won't spread as far. You won't pass bodily fluids by coughing and sneezing. But if you think a mask is going to save you from a virus, then again, you've never been educated in science. You don't know anything about molecules and size. Because if you can smell through that mask, that virus is way smaller than a scent molecule. Ignorance. Again, having knowledge but not knowing how to apply it. Listening to government like they were our God. They have spoken. And as a whole, as a country, we went along with it. We stopped. We closed. We didn't get together. And that was under Trump. Well, people have always gotten sick, and I imagine we'll continue to get sick, and we've all recovered, and I imagine we'll continue to recover. That's how our bodies are designed. This is the word that I spoke to Pharaoh. Elohim has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Elohim has promised to show us. He has promised and said that he would do nothing except for he would reveal it to his servants. See, 7 years of great plenty are coming in all the land of Mitzrayim, but after them 7 years of scarcity of food shall arise, and all the plenty be forgotten in the land of Mitzrayim, and the scarcity of food shall destroy the land. The plenty shall not be remembered in the land because of the scarcity of food following, for it is very severe. The dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the word is established by Elohim, and Elohim is hastening to do it. Now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Mitzrayim. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint overseers over the land to take up one-fifth of the land of Mitzrayim in the 7 years of plenty. And let them gather all the food of those good years that are coming and store up grain under the hands of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and the food shall be for a store for the land for the 7 years of scarcity of food, which shall be in the land of Mitzrayim. Do not let the land be cut off for the scarcity of food. And the word was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Again, not only did Joseph interpret the dream, what did Joseph do afterwards? Gave him a solution, said, here's what you may want to do. What do we need to do if we don't know? Ask. Scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of Yah who gives liberally. But how do we ask? Stacy said, believe in our heart. Gave a good answer. James says, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, and you may consume it upon your lust. How do we receive wisdom? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So not only should I ask, I do believe we should pray. I do believe we can make supplication. I believe we can cry out to our Father who, Messiah said, if you being evil fathers know how to do good, if your son asks for a bread, are you going to give him a stone? If you ask for a fish, are you going to give him a serpent? I do believe God gives us good gifts, but I believe he tells us already, and if we are studying to show ourselves approved, if we are hiding his word in our heart that we might not sin against him, he tells you, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the fear of the Lord? Ooh, I'm scared. Yeah, again, just like our fathers. You can ask some of my children, do they fear me? I don't believe any of my children are scared of me, but I believe they know when I say something, that's what I mean. When my wife says something, most times that's what she means, but sometimes she'll say it two times or three times. Or sometimes they'll know she's busy or she's distracted or she's doing something, and she said it and she meant it, but they know she ain't going to mean it for another 10 or 15 minutes till she gets done. She has a different meaning. And then she looks at me and says, why do they listen to you? You only have to say it once. And I tell her, because I only say it once. God has already said it. He's already laid it out for us. He's already set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. When we realize that means he has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. When I realize his word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, maybe I should use it to light my way, then that's the beginning of wisdom. As I learn his ways more and more, as I learn his words more and more, as I see that it is for my good, more and more wisdom comes, so that not only have I learned his ways, I can begin to apply his ways to do his way, so that it is no longer I that live, but Messiah that lives inside of me. That I can do all things because he strengthens me. That the old man is dead, behold, all things have become new. I can present my body a living sacrifice, which is my acceptable service of worship, and be not conformed to the world, but transformed through the renewing of my mind, that I might prove what is that good, perfect, and acceptable will of God, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Wisdom is knowing his word and honoring his word and applying his word because it works. Because it's his word, and his word is true. He's not a man that he should lie. His arm is not short that he should not fulfill his promises. But for long we have, oh, just ask, just pray, just believe. While we did not believe because we weren't sure of where we stood with him. We weren't sure of where we stood with him because we knew we weren't doing what the Bible said. We were left to wonder, to try to figure on our own. Oh, we were told his grace is there, but then we read scripture that says, because grace abounds, should sin abound more? And we knew in most of our life, sin abounded. But when we began to take the whole counsel of God, when you began to see that all of scripture is good for correction, for doctrine, for reproof, you began to see that I can walk the way he walked. It gives meaning to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I can begin to obey, and as I begin to obey, blessings come, life comes. We see what Messiah meant when he said, I came to give life and life abundantly. And as we read of the famine that came to Pharaoh, we better look around at America. I believe we're getting ready to be in a time of fat for cattle. Not because we have so many cows in America, but because famine has already started. Hay is hard to come by in some areas. It's pretty decent down here, but in the Midwest, it's not. They are selling off cattle and flooding the market, which will bring beef prices down. You better get beef while it's cheap in a few months, because by next year, if they've sold off all of their cows, what are they not going to have? They won't have calves. If they don't have calves, what are we not going to have by this time next year or the year after? You won't have near the cows. We're beginning to see it with eggs in localized areas. They had millions of birds killed off because of the bird flu. Now all of a sudden we're beginning to have shortages of eggs in areas. They're how much? 3 years ago, a 60-count box of eggs at Walmart was $3.33. It's how much? This last week, Stacy bought it for $20 and you didn't buy it. $20.59. They were $3.33, now they're $20.59. Now you tell me what inflation that is. Well, we go down most times to Little Prairie Farms there. $7 right, but unfortunately, their chickens, their eggs, their chickens are natural chickens running around their barnyard, and in the winter, they don't lay near as many eggs. They're not in a commercial grow house that's completely heated and done. They're farm chickens. So in the winter, their eggs go quick. Be wise. Yah told Pharaoh what was going to happen years ahead. Why? It was going to take that long to get up stores. What would have happened if he would not have stored up during the first 7 years? The seven skinny years were coming. I know we've been saying prepare, prepare, prepare here for years. You know why? I hoped you had time to prepare. They start in verse 8. Well, they just read verse 8, but I'm going to start in 8 and read through the end of the chapter. It shall be as when a hungry man dreams and see he eats, but when he awakes, his being is empty, or when a thirsty man dreams and see he drinks, but he awakes and see he is faint and his being is longing. Thus shall the crowd of all the nations be who fight against Mount Zion. Pause and wonder, blind yourselves and be blind. They are drunk, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For Yah has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, the prophets, and he has covered your heads, the seers. And the entire vision is to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men give to one who knows books, saying, read this, please. And he said, I'm unable, for it is sealed. And the book is given to one who does not know books, saying, read this, please. And he says, I have not known books. Yah says, because this people has drawn near with his mouth and with his lips, they have esteemed me, and it is kept its heart far from me, and the fear of me has become a command of men that is taught. Now, is that not our society today, where even the learned, a woman sitting there when they ask, what is a woman, and she has been a woman all her life, what was her answer? I'm not a biologist. I don't know what a woman is. You are one. But yet she would sit there and say, I can't tell you what a woman is. I'm not a biologist.
But she's now a Supreme Court Justice.
Yes, deciding the course of our nation. But now let me ask you something. What is a, from her answer, I'm not a biologist, but I have studied biology. What would a biologist, one who knows biology, tell you that a woman is? Someone is able to get pregnant. Someone who does not have a Y chromosome. If that is what a biologist would say, because that's what biology say, then should not we be able to define what a man and a woman is? What?
Follow the science.
It is amazing how they holler and say again, oh, follow the science. How they say, oh, I'm not a biologist. But they won't go to biology, which is what a biologist is, one who knows biology, and take the definition from biology, which is what a biologist is supposed to do, and define a woman. Because biology has defined women for quite a long time. It's not a new concept. We didn't just wake up and go, oh, there's a difference between me and them other people over there. What is that? That's a woman. What's a woman? Oh, no. Let's ask the biologist.
Even a cow knows the difference.
Every animal knows the difference. Yeah, we're more intelligent, so we don't. Mm-hmm. Well, a pig knows what a sow is and a hog is, or there'd be no baby piglets. It is amazing how they want to follow nature, but do you know how many homosexual dogs there are? You know how many lesbian pigs there are? Biology may have something to tell us. But Yah has put the stupor upon us. Why? Because we draw near him with our mouth and with our lips. We've esteemed him, but our heart is far from him. And the fear of me, what is the fear of God? The beginning of wisdom is just a command which men have taught. They teach that wisdom is 72 genders. They teach that wisdom is, please tell me your pronouns. Are you he, him, her, him, she, ze, zim, they, them? What was that one the other day? Clown, clown self. Clown and clown self was her pronouns. Now, I really agreed with her. That's the first one I've heard of that I agreed. And I said, now, I actually think you're right. I think clown and clown self would describe you perfectly. If I have to tell you my pronouns, and if I'm not even sure what they are because I've got six of them, who would have thought we would live in such a time? Therefore, can we perhaps say that this therefore may be because we're in the exact same spot? See, I'm again doing a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, and the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their clever men shall be hidden. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from Yah, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? How perverse are you? Should the potter be reckoned as the clay? Should what is made say to his maker, he did not make me? And what is formed say to him who formed it, he did not understand? And is that not exactly what we're doing? Oh, I'm just a man trapped in a woman's body. I'm a woman trapped in a man's body. I know he created me, she, her, but I'm really. Can we not see how this is literally exactly what Scripture says? You know why we don't know that? We don't read Scripture. The Old Testament's done away with. Oh, that was just history. Is it not yet a little while, and Lebanon shall be turned into garden land, and the garden land be reckoned as a forest? And in that day the deaf shall hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of the gloom and out of the darkness, and the meek ones shall increase their joy in Yah. And the poor among men rejoice in the set-apart one of Israel. For the ruthless one is brought to naught, the scorner is consumed, and all who watch for evil shall be cut off. Those who make a man to sin in word, is there not a huge emphasis now on using their correct pronouns? Doesn't matter what you think, what you see, what you know. I have to use the words you say, whether they're right or wrong. Those who make a man to sin in his word and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate. Are we not called haters, intolerant, bigots, terrorists, microaggressors? Lay a snare for him who reproves the gate and turns aside the righteous with empty reasoning. You sure Isaiah wasn't alive last week? Therefore, thus says Yah, who ransomed Abraham concerning the house of Yaakov. Yaakov is no longer put to shame. No longer does his face grow pale when he sees his children. The work of my hand in his midst, they shall set apart my name and set apart the set apart one of Yaakov and fear the Elohim of Israel. Those who went astray in spirit shall come to understanding, and the grumblers accept instruction. Hallelujah, there is still hope for those who know him, but those who are not turning, it did not seem so well. Those who will not stop grumbling and accept instruction, not so well. We literally are living in this time when we see the words of Scripture being played out before our eyes. Do we not think Yah will keep the rest of his word and do it? Is that not the fear of Yah, the beginning of wisdom? He has written the end from the beginning, has told us what is coming, has made it plain to see. Here it was, just as ignorant in the days of Isaiah. Perhaps a different ignorance, but the same thing with them saying to the Maker, he made me wrong. With them saying, you need to curtail your words to my truth. If you reprove me, if you don't accept me, you're the problem. Hallelujah, and some, it would seem, in that day are going to get so sick of it, so fed up with it, they turn back to Yah. But those who do not, beware. Let's close with Psalms 34. I bless Yah at all times. His praise is continually in my mouth. My being makes its boast in Yah. Let the humble hear and be glad. O Yah, O make Yah great with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought Yah, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor one cried out, and Yah heard him and saved him out of his distresses. The messenger of Yah encamps all around those who fear him and rescue them. O taste and see that Yah is good. Blessed is the man that takes refuge in him. Fear Yah, you set apart ones, for there is no lack to them who fear him. Young lions have lacked and been hungry, but those who seek Yah lack not any good matter. Come, your children, listen to me. Let me teach you the fear of Yah, who is the man who desires life, who loves many days in order to see good. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Yah are on the righteous and his ear unto their cry. The face of Yah is against evildoers to cut off their remembrance from the earth. The righteous cried out and Yah heard and delivered them out of all of their distress. Yah is near to the brokenhearted and saves those whose spirit is crushed. Many are the evils of the righteous, but Yah delivers him out of them all. He is guarding all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil does not slay the wrong, and those who hate the righteous are guilty. Yah redeems the lives of his servants, and none of those taking refuge in him are guilty. Encouraging the days ahead, do not be tempted to be politically correct. Be tempted to be God correct. Do not sway to speaking abominations to get along. Instead, speak his truth, which is able to make free. Scripture says to put on his armor, and when you've done all, to stand. That is our prayer, that is our desire, that is our request, that when those times come, we may be found worthy, that we may stand, that we may Shema, we may hear and obey. Father, thank you that you have told us the end from the beginning, that you have shown us in your word, even the things that are happening today, that they do not take you by surprise, that you are not fretting, that you have not been moved from your throne, but that your grace and your long suffering and your kindness has not wiped them from the earth. But Father, the day is coming when you will shake all that can be shaken, that those who seek you, those who are in the shadow of your wings, shall remain, and that your glory in your name shall be set apart and praised. May we do that every day in our life. May we not wait, but may we say today, as for me and my house, we shall choose Yah. We will Shema, we will hear and obey. We will pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod.